It's wonderful being in God's presence this morning, and it's wonderful to be able to be here this morning. You could have been in the best hospital in Durban, but you're here this morning. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus. I want to thank you for your word. Father, your word is eternal this morning. And Father, people are eternal this morning. And so this morning, as we come to your word, I thank you that you change our hearts, Father. I thank you that you change our minds. Holy Spirit, I thank you that this service is yours. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. And I'd like you to greet all the people in Phoenix this morning. Welcome to Pastor Merv and the people in Phoenix. Hi, everyone. And the people in Hillcrest, you guys are awesome. And everybody on live stream, you having fellowship with your pillows and blankets this morning. I can see some of you there. Amen. Yeah, we all are at church and you're in bed with your blanket and pillow. That's not fair. But isn't it awesome? Next Sunday, our air conditioners will be in, so it'll be nice and cool. Amen. Thank you to everybody who gave to make that possible. And it's going to be awesome. Well, this morning, I want to talk to us this morning about home is where the heart is, or having a heart for God's home. Having a heart for God's home. And let's read this morning in Romans 12, 5 to 18. It says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts according to the grace that has been given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Isn't that awesome? Let's show a bit of mercy with cheerfulness. And then in Ephesians 2, 18 to 22, and this is an awesome passage of scripture, it says, Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace that. And that was the end of hostility. Christ came and preached peace to outsiders and peace to us insiders, that's Gentiles and Jews. He treated us as equals, so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. Isn't it awesome that God has no favorites in the kingdom? We are all equal through Jesus Christ this morning. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer exiles, wandering off, or slaves in sin. I just added that. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Say to your neighbor, you belong here. You belong here this morning. You're not outsiders or somebody out there or an exile. You belong here this morning. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home. He's not building a hotel or a city lodge, because home is where the heart is. And he's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he's building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you. You just thought you could sit here every Sunday and fill a seat, but no, God is using you today. He's using you. Fitting you in, brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Isn't it awesome that God is at home today? The Bible says where people are gathered together in his name, here he is in the midst. And God is in our midst today. The Bible says his name is Emmanuel. God is with us this morning. So don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus said in the last days, things will happen. You know, the tent blew down and the dome burnt down and the floods came and we all were worried. But the Bible says, don't let your heart be troubled this morning. Jesus has got it all under control. Amen. He's building his church. And this morning I want to talk to us about having a heart for God's home this morning. And I wanted to just talk to us about home and you. Can we talk about some home stuff this morning? And what is it all about? You know, Pastor Wayne gets up and he says, "Good morning, Durban Christian Center, and welcome home." What is this home that we're talking about here? Locating us all in this journey. Well, soon we'll be building the new Jesus Dome, and that's going to be awesome. We're looking at doing that in February, and all the plans have gone through, and we're so excited about that. And but you know, Jesus is in the business of building people, and he loves the church so much that he died for it. We could have been in any other country. We could have been in any other city. You could have been in any other church today, but we're here today. Amen. And maybe this, and Pastor Fred and Al, I've got the big gun sitting in the front row this morning. We just want to honor you, Mom. And we're here today because Pastor Fred and Al paved the way for all of us. Amen. And isn't it a strange thing? John and I were just thinking about it the other day, where the dome originally was built from this building. And it's almost like history has gone around again, where they did pitch a tent up there, and the tent also blew down. So this is nothing new for DCC. The tent blew down there too, and everybody was here, but we still built the dome from here anyway. Amen. And you're part of that this morning. Hallelujah. So maybe this is your first Sunday in this house, or maybe you've only been here a few months or a few years, and you're wondering, why is she talking about this place as a home? You know, some of you here and in Phoenix, you've been here forever, year in and year out and year in and year out. And I want to tell you this morning, there's some awesome, awesome people in this church. You're awesome this morning. And that's Hillcrest and Phoenix included. I'm not leaving you out. We love you, hey? You care, you pray, you give, you encourage. And many of you have encouraged me and my family over the years. Many of you sat on those chairs in the dome, and you sat there for so many years. Even your bottom prints were on the seat. You know, your little bottom prints were there. And woe betide anybody who sat in that chair, because you said, "Those are my bottom prints. You better not be sitting on my chair." Well, I'm not sure what your story is today, and we've all got a story. And I thought this morning, will you allow me to share my story with you? Yeah. Okay, amen. I was brought up in a natural home like all of you, and fortunately a godly home. It wasn't a perfect home. How many of you come from absolutely perfect homes here? And just like in every home, you all have the same mom and all the same dad, but your siblings all turn out differently. Amen. Doesn't it? They all choose differently, and you think, what home did that person come from? They had the same mother, the same father, and I don't know what happened to that one. But we all have those, okay? We all have those in our families. And my mom, Pastor Nell, she would say every Sunday morning, and I still hear it in my head, "My girl, you're going to church today. When you get older, you'll be able to make your own decisions. And on that day, I hope you'll make the right choice." None of you have had those discussions with your children. I think some of you are sitting here today because your mother had that discussion with you this morning. Amen. Get up, you're going to church. And that was the norm for me, to get up and go to church. And, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, they won't depart from it. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I'm so glad to see so many of you in church this morning, because have you ever wondered, why should you go to church? There's so many options on a Sunday. Have you never asked yourself that question? Why should I be in church? I could be lying on the beach, I could be cycling, I could be doing whatever I want. Well, let me tell you, I'll give you two good reasons, okay? There's lots of reasons, but I'll give you two good reasons. Why should we attend church? You know, some of you, I haven't seen you for a long time, and, you know, some of us, we popcorn Christians. Have you heard about popcorn Christians? They just pop in and they pop out. I'm just popping in a bit and I'm popping out a bit, and it's Mrs. Pops and that's Mr. Pops. And these are my little puppets. These little puppets come to church on a Sunday because we just pop in and we pop out, you know. And they make a big bang when they arrive. They make a bigger bang when they leave. Hey, we all know those puppet Christians, those popcorn Christians. Have you ever eaten popcorn? You know, you eat a whole, you know, packet of popcorn like this and you're not full. There's no substance. There's no substance in popping Christians and popcorn Christians popping in and out. They gave their heart to Jesus, but their body goes everywhere else, you know. My body goes everywhere, but my heart, it's with Jesus, you know. But I never go to church. Just pop in, pop out, you know. And, you know, just like in the movies, you eat popcorn in the movies, right? When the big guns arrive, you know, then the popcorn Christians arrive too. And then the popcorn Christians, they want to sit in the front row. Because if they don't sit in the front row, they make a big bang. Make a big bang about me. You don't know about, I've been coming to this church. But let me tell you, the number one reason that we should be in church on a Sunday. Why? Because Jesus went to church on a Sunday. Jesus did. And if we're his disciples, shouldn't we be doing what he does? Amen. And I'll give you a scripture for that. Luke 4 verse 16, it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up and read. Jesus went to church. We need to go to church. As he is, so are we in this world. Amen. The second reason. Why do you think? The second reason is, it's a good habit to go to church. All of us have got bad habits. We eat too much cake. We drink too much Coke. All of us have got bad habits. It's a good habit to go to church, and it's a good example for you and your family. Amen. It's a good habit, and it's a good example for you and your family. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Amen. So we're here this morning to exhort one another. We're here this morning to encourage one another. Amen. That's what we're here for. So let me tell you a little bit more of our story, and you can get the book, All Things Are Possible, by Pastor Fred and Nell. So we left South Africa and we went to America because of the politics, and you know, their denomination said you can't go here and you can't go there and you can't go into this area. And, you know, segregation was the deal of the day. So we left. And my dad was preaching all over America, and he had many offers to take over churches. And, you know, I'm sure it was very tempting for them. I schooled in America. I even learned to speak Spanish. Can you believe it? And then I married somebody who had a Spanish passport, but I can't speak Spanish. But anyway. So then God spoke to them in 1979. He said, go back to South Africa and plant. Build a house of prayer for all nations. Build a home for everyone. Say, this is a home for everyone. This is a home for everyone. This isn't just a home for some people. This is a home for all people. Amen. And so they came and they built a house of prayer for all nations, a home for everyone. And DCC was the first non-racial church in KZN. That's your history this morning. Isn't that awesome? And we will always be until Jesus comes back. Amen. And Pastor Fred even won the, I think it was the Living Legend Award for that. And there's branches all over Durban and churches everywhere, and thousands of people's lives have been touched and changed because Pastor Fred and Nell were obedient to the call of God. So this church isn't just somebody's idea. We didn't just wake up one morning and say, oh, I can't find a job. Let's go and start a church. You know, that's what some people do. And this has been my home for many years, and many of you weren't even born yet, because I'm over 50, and I always say I've been in the church for over 50 years and 9 months. So I was kind of born under the chair, and many of you were. And this is my journey, this is my story. I don't know what your story is this morning, but maybe when you think of home, you think about violence. Maybe when you think of the word home, you think of dysfunction. Maybe when you think of home, you think of irresponsible parents. Maybe when you think of home, you don't think about anything like peace and quiet. You think about things that destroyed your home. But God doesn't want us just to believe in Him, because lots of people believe in God. They just believe that there is a God. Oh, there's a God. Yes, I believe in God. But He wants us to belong to a family and be in a home. God wants us to be in a family and be in a home. This is a home that overrides our own experience of home. And I'm so grateful that my natural home experience has always been part of God's home experience, to belong. Say to your neighbor, you belong to God. You belong to God this morning. You don't belong to those dysfunctional parents or wherever you come from. You belong to God this morning. Your children belong to God. Your house belongs to God. Everything you own belongs to God. We just get to look after our children. Isn't that awesome? God takes the responsibility to make sure they, hey, amen. So, amen, you belong to God. Is this church perfect? Yes, you said it. I never said it. Is this church perfect? No. Are the pastors perfect? No. Are the congregants perfect this morning? No. But there's something that happens when we come together as a house that's just so wonderful. There's something about the house of God that I'm passionate about this morning. And I'm sure you are as well. John and I are passionate about this house. We're in love with this house. We're giving our lives for this house. I met him in this house. So that was awesome too. Many of you have met your significant others in this house as well. I meet many pastors when we travel around. They're fed up with the house. They're always fed up with the poor sheep, fed up with the sheep, and fed up with that sheep. And, you know, it can be a thankless job leading the house of God. But, you know, John and I are in love with this home, Phoenix and Hillcrest. Why? Because you're here. You're here this morning. This building is not the church. I mean, a building is not the church. If I just came here this morning, we'd all just be looking at the ceiling. But this church is the church because you're here this morning. Amen. Give yourselves a great big God bless you. Hallelujah. This is a home where people can come with difficulties, challenges, and people in this home can say, come stay a while. Come here with your need. Come here with your brokenness. Come here with your questions. We're here for you. The Bible is full of scripture about being planted and flourishing, and how beautiful is your dwelling place and being in the courts of the Lord. In Isaiah 61, verse 3, it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Everything we do in this home is for Jesus to be glorified. Amen. It's for Jesus to be glorified. It's amazing when Jesus would heal people, He'd often say to them, go home. Jesus went to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law. And they say that's why Peter denied Jesus 3 times, because he healed his mother-in-law. One day, I'm going to tell Peter that joke when we get to heaven. He said to Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm coming to your home. Jairus' daughter was healed at home. It all happened at home. We can go on and on and on about home, because God is concerned about your home. And He's concerned that we're in a home. Amen. Even although we all have different cultures and different homes, there's something that God has wired all of us for, and that's home. That's community. It's amazing when prisoners are sent for punishment. They put them in solitary confinement because none of us were meant to be alone. There's no lone rangers in the body of Christ. Tell your neighbor, you're not a lone ranger this morning. You're not a lone ranger. There's no lone rangers in the body of Christ. Amen. And it's not what we do for God, but why we do it. Why are we here today? Why are you serving? Why are you singing in the band? Why are you helping greet people at the door? Why did you come in the bus this morning? Why are you helping in children's church? Why are you on the media? Why are you in the cameras? But why? You know, there's a story about this mother who was teaching the daughter to cook, and she had this roast, and she put it in the roasting pan, and she cut both ends off and put it in. So the daughter said, well, why do you cut the both ends off and put it in the oven? So she said, I don't know, Mom. That's what my mother told me to do. So they went to the grandmother, and the grandmother said, well, you know why I cut the two ends off? Do I need another mic? I'm shouting too loud. She said, why do you cut the two ends off? So Granny said, well, because my dish was so small that I couldn't fit it in the dish, I used to cut the ends off. And yeah, they were cutting the ends of the roast off. But sometimes we just keep doing things and doing things. We need to ask ourselves, why? Why? And you know why we do what we do here? Because we're building something that's far greater than a building. We're building something that's far greater than even us, and it's called the kingdom of God. Every time one person is born again, we're building. Win the lost at any cost. Say to your neighbor, I'm a kingdom builder. I'm a kingdom builder this morning. Hallelujah. You know, there's so many people in this world and in Durban who are homeless, and I'm talking spiritually speaking, without a home. There are so many who are rootless and fruitless because many people don't live with the understanding that God's house can become a home where we can come, we can learn, we can get help, we can get advice, we can gain godly wisdom. My prayer for you today is that some of you will find a home for the first time. I pray that some of you will come home because you're lost and drifting. I pray that some will become builders of the home. And I pray that all of us can say truly, home is where my heart is today. Amen. There are some things that God wants to give us and packages for each of us, but he can't deliver it because he doesn't know our home mailing address. He wants to drop callings. He wants to drop blessings into us, but he can't deliver the package because we have no home address. You know, he wants you to prophesy. He wants you to get involved. But, you know, we can't get involved staying at home, sleeping. Amen. He wants to give you gifts and callings. And, you know, the thing about church, and because I've been here for, 500 years, at home, everybody knows you, and that's why sometimes we want to go away. At home, everybody knows you, and that's why sometimes we go away. You know, John and I found that the greatest lessons that we learned wasn't in the going, but it was in the staying. It wasn't in the going, it was in the staying. And we've had opportunities to go many years ago. A prominent minister in Orlando, Florida, they wanted John to be his youth pastor. This was years ago, and it was tempting. How many of you know America's nice and we could have gone to Disneyland every weekend? It was tempting, you know, but if we had have gone from this place out of reaction or frustration, it wouldn't have worked. Because God never wants to say no to our dreams and greater vision for our lives. He wants to give us greater vision and greater dreams. Amen. But God doesn't want dreamers to become drifters this morning. You know, there's so many dreamers, and they're just dreaming, and they all, you know, they saw red light, and then I went, and then did, you know, did you get a word from the Lord? You know, you're becoming a drifter now. He wants his children to have influence and stature and authority so that when we speak, it comes from a different place. Amen. God wants to birth things in this home through you, like songs, ideas, Some of you have met the person that you work for in this house. Some of you have got a contract with somebody from this house. You know, some of you learnt what you know, and it's enabled you to get a job out there because you worked in this house. Comrade, who works in our media department, as a young guy, he always worked in the media department. I can tell you today, FBN or any of the top channels on TV, they would snap him up in an instant. And he learned what he learned here. I'm just thinking, I don't know where Varney is, but her son Trevor. I remember as a young chap, he was working in the video department. Now he's head of, media at the university in Bloemfontein. Where did he learn that? In this house. Amen. In this house many years ago. And many of you, your marriages were saved in this house. Because Sister Nettie gets up and she says, murder many times, but divorce never. Amen. Now imagine if you didn't have a mother that loved you enough and a house that loved you enough to say that to you. There's many houses out there and many homes that will never say that to you. So thank goodness we had a mother that said that to us. Divorce never. Amen. You wouldn't be married to that lady if you hadn't have met in this house. How many of you found your spouse in this house? Look at, you see, quite a few here. Some of you are still looking. Some of you are checking it out there. David said it like this in Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, for one day in your courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. David says, one day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand anywhere else. I don't know about you, but that's pretty challenging. You know, I wouldn't mind a 1,000-day holiday in Mauritius. Huh? 1,000-day skiing holiday, that's probably, what, 2.5 years? 2.5 skiing holiday, that would be awesome. You know, your favorite beach, that's a big statement. One day in the house of God or 1,000 in your favorite place. Why would David say this morning? Why would he say that? A man who had everything. Because he knew the value of the house of God. He knew the value of being in the house of God. So I'm urging us this morning, let's fall in love with the house of God. Can we say, I have a zeal for God's house and it consumes me? Or am I a customer and a consumer? Sometimes we come to the house of God with the shopping list, with like consumer mentality. I need this from the house. I need that from the house. I need this song. I need that. I need this, you know, worship leader to do this and that. Or do I come not as a consumer, but consumed by the love and the presence of God? Do we come in and say, I'm so in love with you, Lord, and my love for you extends to your house and the people in your house, and I'm not coming as a customer this morning, but I'm coming consumed by you. That means my needs disappear, my needs take second place, because I know that what you love, I love, and when I love what you love, you take care of what concerns me. Amen. You know, David said in Psalm 138, and I love this scripture, every time I have a concern or something comes up, in Psalm 138, David says, God will perfect all that concerns me. God will perfect everything that concerns you. You know, we're blessed here this morning, Durban Christian Center. There are many people who don't have a spiritual address like this one. And it's not by coincidence that today we're sitting in 39 Galway Road. And you say, well, what's so important about 39 Galway Road? Well, we believe in signs, we believe in wonders, we believe in miracles. And Jesus had 39 stripes on his back. Amen. So we're sitting in the provision of God. Whatever Jesus did for us on Calvary is for you this morning. This address is not here by chance this morning. And we're blessed this morning. In other countries right now, they're not able to do this what we're doing. They're being murdered, they're being shut down, they're being put in jail. And you know what they would be saying about us this morning? If they could see us this morning here, they would be saying, how blessed you are, Durban Christian Center. How blessed you are this morning, Phoenix. How blessed you are this morning, Hillcrest. You can get on a bus for free and get to church. It's just a car ride away for you. How blessed you are when you arrive, the chairs are out, the band is rehearsed, the lights are on, the kids are being loved on, and some are being fed. You know, there's security in the parking. How blessed we are to be part of something greater than ourselves, and how wonderful it is to be part of God's ever-increasing kingdom this morning. Amen. You know, as I close this morning, and I believe that every church has these two people, it's the story of the prodigal son. And I always like to call this not the story of the prodigal son, but I like to call it the story of the waiting father. Because God is always waiting for us to come home. He's always waiting for us to come home. And he's the God of a million and one chances this morning. And it's the story of two boys, and Jesus tells the story. It's the story of two boys growing up in one home with one father, but two different things happen in this home. And I believe those two things happen in every single church. And one of the boys, you know, he becomes sick of home. Well, I'm sick of here, you know, I'm sick of being here. I'm going to do my own thing. And it's my time now. I'm off. I'm going. There's other things out there for me. I'm going. And then he goes from being sick of home to being homesick. Amen. Sometimes we do that. We're sick of home and then we get homesick. And he thinks, will they take me back? Do you think they'll take me back? I think I made a bad call. Will they accept me? And he goes home to dad and dad says, I miss you, man. You know, I love you. Come on, let's have a party. Let's carry on. Then there's the other brother. The other brother stayed home. He didn't go off on a mad adventure. And, you know, he hears the brother's back. But it's not a good reaction. He says, I'm always here. I'm really working hard in this place. You know, now why is he getting all the attention? The second brother. You know, we can have that in the house of God too. I'm always here. I'm always rehearsing. I'm always in the car park. I'm always helping. I'm always serving. How come it's always me serving? I'm never getting the party. You know, sometimes we get like that in church. And the elder brother became resentful and felt unappreciated. And this morning, you asked Joy, how do we fix that moment when you feel resentful, and what's the point? When we forget the why we're doing what we're doing, it stops being worship and it becomes a work. When we forget why we do it and for whom we do it. And I remember many, many years ago when we were still in the Berea Church, I used to run the bookshop down there and we were in the middle of conference. And in those days, you didn't have Wi-Fi and, you know, you could watch the live stream. They would video the service and then you'd have those big cassette tapes, VHS cassette tapes. Do you remember those? And then they'd have like, we'd have like 20 machines and everything was in real time. You know, so you'd put the master in there, then you'd switch on all the machines, and then it would take, if the service was 2 hours, then to run off. Now, you youngsters don't even know what I'm talking about, eh? What is this woman talking about? The machines and the this and the real time and the... Anyway. And then there were cassette tapes, and that had to happen as well. You put the master in, and then the other little three, and then it would run off. And none of you know about those either. Those are like little plastic things with round holes that you'd put in. But now you don't know about that. We just download everything on Wi-Fi. It's like so awesome. So there I was down at Berea Road and working in the bookshop. And, you know, it was late. And I see Jenny there. She used to help in the bookshop too. She's also been here for 590 years. And we'd be working in the bookshop, and it would be late, and then you'd have to, and then everybody, you know, church people, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. I've worked in the bookshop. You come in there and you ask for the thing that's not in the bookshop. And then we get that thing that's in the bookshop and we tell you, then you don't want it. That's it. I know. I worked there for years. And then they come, where's my video? You know, I've been in the church for 540 years. How come I don't have that video? You know, I've had it all. So there we were working, putting the labels on and waiting for the night service. So we'd work all day, just have lunch, and then go into the night service again. So, you know, I didn't just arrive here and start talking on the platform. I've worked in almost every department of the church. So nobody can come and say to me, this takes 15 hours to do. I say, no, I've been in this church for a very long time. That takes 5 minutes. Okay. So there, now we're talking something else. But when we forget why we do what we do and for whom we do it, and there's a beautiful pastor, and he has a church in Escort, Pastor Dermot Sandals. He has an orphanage, which Nelson Mandela actually opened, and this church has purchased 2 homes in that orphanage. And the one day I'm in the bookshop, and he came in there, and he's got white, very white hair and this beard. He almost looks like an angel, you know. And a beautiful pastor. And he came in and he said, how are you, my girl? So I had this long story. Yeah, I'm so busy and I'm so busy and I'm so busy and I'm just... And I gave him this whole long story and he just stood there and he smiled so nicely at me. Just smiled. And then he patted me on the shoulder and he said, my girl, never forget your first love. Never forget your first love. You know, in the book of Revelation, Jesus talks to the book of the church in Ephesus, and he says, you're so wonderful, you do this and you do that, and you tick all the boxes, but you've lost your first love. May we never lose our love for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the reason why we're here today, and the reason why we do what we do this morning. Amen. Because the Bible says when you put him first, all these things will be added to you. So this place, this home that we're building, is not made with bricks and stone. It's not chandeliers or stained glass windows, but it's a picture of heaven on earth. And it's for those who come in and don't know what home is like. There's a different sound in this house. There's a different presence in this house and home. And it's different to how it is out there. And they're searching for this that we have here. Amen. In the world, there's value in this house. And each and every one of you are valuable. There's worth in this house. And there's a Heavenly Father who loves us unconditionally. Let's be a person this morning that doesn't just fill a seat. I want to encourage us today. This is not, you know, a theoretical sermon or anything like that. May we be consumed with the love for the lost and a love for each other and a love for this house, the church that Jesus died for and is coming back for. I want to attach what I'm doing and why I'm doing it for who I'm doing it for. Amen. Why don't we be the kind of people that say, you know what, I've got the best position in church. I'm the one that helps park cars. You know why? Because I get to meet the people as they come out their car. I get to greet them. I get to say, wow, you're looking good today. I get to be that person before they even walk in the doors to encourage them. They might have had a bad week. You know, maybe they are a bit grumpy, but that's fine. You could love them anyway. I want to be that person where nobody has to come up here and say, come on, you know, lift your hands. Come on, before we even told to lift our hands, let's worship God. Because let's be so thankful to the Lord that we can come together like this, that we can sing together, that we can give to this house because it's reaching people that are far from God. Oh, the house of God this morning, she's magnificent. She's wonderful. I stand here grateful for this house this morning. Let's stand this morning. Matthew 16 verse 18 says, Jesus said, he will build his triumphant church and the gates of hell will never be able to stand against it. And we're all part of that church today, this morning. God bless you, Pastor Wayne.
Hallelujah. As we stand here this morning, I wonder if you would just for a few moments just bow your head and close your eyes. Because as Pastor Joy has been talking about the church and being part of a home, I do believe that the will of God for each and every one of us here today is that you have an eternal home. That for eternity, you would be with Jesus. That you would see His glory, that you would see His majesty, and that you would have life. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says that Jesus, He stands at the door and He knocks. And He knocks. He's knocking because there is a closed door. But this morning, my friend, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And you know what He's wanting from you? He's wanting you to be a part of that family. That for the rest of your life, and as you slip into eternity, that you would have a home, a place, a sense of belonging. Jesus said that He's going to heaven and He's building us a place. And when you come to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, He gives you a place, a home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, in all honesty, Wayne, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never surrendered to Jesus. I've never said, Lord Jesus, I want to be a part of your home. I want a sense of belonging. Can I say to you, my friend, that no matter where you are in your journey of life, that God always offers you a place. He always offers you a home. In Isaiah 42, verse 3, God tells us in His Word that He will never break a bruised reed. And you might be here this morning and you might say, I have a whole lot of bruises, Wayne, to be truthful with you. A whole lot of bruises. But Jesus will never turn you away. Just like that prodigal son that came back home, you can come to Jesus this morning. And you can come to a home. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Wayne, that's me. What is it that I need to do? We would like to pray with you this morning. Out in Phoenix, Hillcrest, here at the Jesus Dome, we would love to pray with you this morning. This is the beginning of a whole new life. Jesus welcomes you, my friend. Jesus will restore. He gives you a hope. He gives you life. We want to pray with you this morning, wherever you may be, every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to dismiss the service in a while. And you say, would you please pray with me? We would love to do that. All the pastors of this church, the elders of this church, we would love to pray with you this morning. Quickly, wherever you may be, I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be overwhelmed by all these folks. We will rejoice with you. We will celebrate with you this morning. You say, yes, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to find a home that will never change, where God becomes your Father. Are you ready? One, two, quickly, wherever you may be, three, would you put up your hand and say, yes, that's me. Would you please pray with me this morning? I'm coming to Jesus. Thank you in the back there. God bless you. In Phoenix, God bless you. in Hillcrest as well, would you put up your hand? You say, I'm coming to Jesus. I'm surrendering to Jesus. I'm coming home. Is there anybody else that says, yes, that's me? Quickly, would you put your hand right up in the air? Would you wave your hand at me? Thank you over here. God bless you. And over there, God bless you. Who else is coming home? Who else is saying, yes, I'm coming to Jesus this morning? Quickly, would you raise your hand at me? God sees that hand. And God responds to your act of faith this morning. Is there anybody else that says, yes, I'm coming to Jesus? God bless you on my right-hand side. Wherever you may be, I'm going to ask. And I know this is going to take a whole lot of courage. Even if you didn't raise your hand, wherever you may be, will you please step out from where you are? And just like this man, Hillcrest, Phoenix, the same. Would you come and join us in the front? We're going to sing a song. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Mervyn in Phoenix, Pastor Albie in Hillcrest. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week. Come join us here in the front. Come on, church. Let's give them a big God bless you as they come. Those that raise their hands over there and over there, come and join us. Come on. You can be a part of the family of God this morning. Come on.
You split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God.
We want to close the service in a moment, but I do believe that there are more that need to respond. And I wonder this morning if you could ask the person next to you, even if it's your husband. Maybe you had a fight this morning and you want to make sure, right? Would you ask them, are you part of the family of God? And my friend, if they're not 100% sure, let's make sure this morning. Come on, here's an opportunity for you to have that sense of belonging. Will you come and join us? We're going to sing the song once more. And as we sing it, this is your opportunity. Come in the name of Jesus. We want to pray with you this morning. Come in the name of Jesus. Come and join us. Sing it one more time. You can still come and join us as we sing.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's give this man a big God bless you this morning. And you can still come and join us. The altar is still open. We're going to sing it one more time. I do believe that God's given you one more opportunity. Come and join us. Come.
You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and say, I am a child of God.
Those of you in the front, I wonder if you would close your eyes and I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Church, can we reach out our hands and can we join with them this morning? Would you say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you were raised from the dead so that I could have life. And I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. Living my life without you. But I thank you that you embrace me. That you forgive me. That you receive me. I accept you as my Lord,
as my Savior.
All my failures, all my guilt, all my shame has been removed from off my life. And I am born again.
I am made new.
In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for these precious men and women. And we thank you, God, that you have begun a new work. A good thing has begun in them this morning. And I thank you, God, that you protect them. That desire for Jesus just is fanned up on the inside of them. That they would find their place here in this church. That they would find this place home. But I thank you, God, that there is an eternal home that now they have received. And I thank you, God, that they will serve you for the rest of their days. Every bondage, every shackle is broken from off their life. And they are free in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.